Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Welcome back to Okla Said, the official podcast of the Okla Ed Twitter chat. And if you're wondering why it's me introducing the podcast this week, well, it's because Aaron's off gallivanting around on the East Coast, checking out the sites and doing the fun stuff. And we had a bit of a hitch in our giddy up last week with Aaron's school year wrapping up and my graduation taking place. So lots of life events have equaled a slight delay in getting out the Authenticity for Classroom Instruction podcast. So we're so grateful that you've tuned in, and why hopefully next week we'll be all back to normal and much more entertaining with the two of us bantering back and forth. So this week, 2 weeks ago, we had the K20 Center, who is at K20 Center, host the Okla Ed Chat, and the topic for them was authenticity for classroom instruction. So the K20 Center has recently hosted a couple of different chats, and we're glad that they're doing that, and they are part of the University of Oklahoma, and they provide some really great website or some really great information and resources for educators on their website. So do perform a Google search for the K20 Center or go to their Twitter page at K20 Center and check out everything they have to offer. They got some great things. So, authenticity for classroom instruction. Several things here. Question number one, in your opinion, what is authenticity as it relates to classroom instruction? So my opinion would be that it needs to somehow resonate with the students in some aspect of their life, which can be really hard sometimes to try and tie a lesson back into what's going on with the students. For example, not everybody needs calculus. And so if I was to try and make that authentic, it can be a bit of a challenge trying to explain to them why calculus is important if they don't see a need for it in their future. I can do math very easy. You know, when you walk into the grocery store and you live on a budget, you can only spend so much money. You have to have some math skills for that. But if you're trying to figure out if the price on the frozen peas is good, you're not going to use a calculus equation. Now, having said that, if you have a passion for electrical engineering or some kind of spaceflighty something, then calculus is foundational in what you're going to do after that. And so one of the lessons that I enjoy teaching in calculus that the students also really liked is we watched a space shuttle launch, and I had a chart of all the data. So the speed of the shuttle, its altitude, how far it had traveled downrange, and its acceleration. So I had all this information. We were able to perform calculus on that to try and determine different equations that we could use, develop our own equations to model a space shuttle launch. The students loved that, and it worked out really, really great. But that was more authentic than me standing at a chalkboard with a piece of chalk trying to explain a derivative. So for this particular answer or question, I really liked what Dr. Jason James had to say. He is at James409. Jason, he said, authenticity is anything that a student does which has real-world relevance to applying content knowledge to real-world situations. In other words, an assignment that isn't a damn worksheet. And I really like that, because I think sometimes we get so caught up on worksheets. We've all been there. We've all done that. But with the ability to do all of these different things today with technology, from iPads to Chromebooks to bring your own devices, we can really do some amazing things. And I think that the technology allows us to dive back into, or the technology allows us a lot more options so that we can get away from the worksheet. Now, if you're using your iPad or Chromebook as a worksheet where the students are just filling in blanks, that's a $200 worksheet that you're using there. So let's try and be creative with what we're doing. So question two, this authenticity thing, is it even necessary for student learning? Why or why not? And my answer is yes, although every now and then, sometimes you've got to have some things that maybe aren't as authentic if you talk about a specific rule about whatever it is that you're doing. Sometimes there's things that get us to the authenticity, but we need to understand how different parts work. So again, I went with Dr. Jason James. He said, and for the record, this is answer two, state assessments are the absolute worst mechanism to determine if an OCLA Ed student has learned how to apply their content knowledge to the world. It is really a joke, a bad joke. And I agree with him there. If we're wanting to look at authentic instruction and authentic learning, then a multiple choice test that you take, created by some person not in Oklahoma, unfamiliar with how we teach, cannot possibly provide an authentic assessment of what a student has learned. And this is where we can get into different things like portfolios or web pages or blogs that students can do, where we can see growth inside the student, but then that becomes much more difficult to measure specifically, like a multiple choice test does. Multiple choice tests have their place, but I'm not sure if we're wanting to look at authentic learning, then a multiple choice test is the way to go about it. Question three, let's be reflective for a moment. For a learner, what makes a learning experience authentic? And for me, it's when I have the opportunity to learn something that I can apply in my practice, or if I have the opportunity to learn something that gets me to really thinking about why I do what I do. So on my journey through gamification, I discovered gamification, but I wanted to learn more about that. I went to a lot of things, I read a lot of things, but I just couldn't see a direct application to my classroom with what I was reading, seeing, learning. I didn't give up because I was fascinated by it and I knew that something was in there. So basically I was building my foundation, and then I was able to see, I went to a conference, and at that conference I sat in just the perfect session for me, and the way the session ended, the way we were gone through this session, allowed me to then go, okay, this is how I can apply it in my classroom. And so for me, all of it was authentic because all of it was building into what I wanted to do. And then that allowed me to take this step into gamification. So anything that I can use as part of my practice becomes authentic. So for students, it could be a little bit different, but is there a way that we could use what we're teaching them to speak into different student passions? Which I don't know, it could be hard. But is it possible? So Andre Doughty, he's at Andre Doughty. He said, for me, I look at it as how can I use it in multiple circumstances or situations? So it sounds to me like he's kind of taken a similar tack to what I am. Like, how can I use this in the future? Question four, what are the barriers that prevent teachers from creating authentic learning experiences for their students? And I will go out on a limb here, and not to cast every teacher into the same camp, much like we shouldn't do with our legislators. But I think sometimes we as teachers become terrified that our students won't pass the test at the end of the thing. And because we're afraid they won't pass the test at the end of the thing, we stick with very basic, here's your worksheet, complete it, because this is what the test is going to look like later. You need to be comfortable with it so that you can do good on it, so that we can all feel good about your score on it, so that we know where you're at. And I think a fear of that state test is nestled in our brains. Now, I'm not saying that's for everybody, but I think it's in there. Even when I was a classroom teacher in high school and I was teaching a tested subject, I flipped my class and it was terrifying because I didn't know how my students were going to do at the end of the year, but I decided it was important enough to me that I was changing my classroom model for them. Did they like it at first? No. Did all of them like it at the end? No. But it was important for me to meet my students where they were, which meant that I had to do something different and take a risk. And I was okay taking that risk. And my students were fine. Even if you try to create an authentic learning experience and it fails for you as the teacher looking out at the lesson, you go, oh, that lesson was a disaster. Your students will still have learned something that they can take with them as they move forward in your classroom and advance through the different learning units. So it's critical to take risk. Our students need to see you taking risk. Our students need to see you doing things differently, and our students need to see you trying to reach them where they are. If you teach in high school, you got 150 kids, they are coming at you from 150 different places. And trying to meet all 150 different needs is very challenging. And I think that's why we fall back on worksheets and things like that. There are things that we can do to create a more authentic environment for our students. And in the long run, helping them understand those different problem-solving skills and thinking outside the box skills and taking risk skills is going to benefit them more than being able to master filling in the blanks on a standardized test. Having said all of that, if you're an amazing teacher and you're doing amazing things with your students and you're teaching outside the box and you're making your learning authentic or you're trying different things, your students are going to learn. They're going to follow you where you lead them. So be an amazing teacher and do that. And at the end, they'll be fine on whatever assessment is given to them. So my encouragement to you here is, if especially as we're in these summer months, approaching these summer months now, and you're looking, you know, kind of having an eye on wrapping up this year and an eye towards what you change next year, really think about what you can change for next year and take some intentional risk and do something amazing with your kids and just be, allow yourself to be surprised at how your kids respond to that. I think they're going to be fine in the long run. My kids all passed the tests that they had to take. It wasn't a big deal. We got them all across the finish line. Nobody reported back to me that they were any worse off than before when I had them, before I had them. So I think we need to just own up to the fact that we're scared of that super big state test at the end. And you know what? Is it a big deal? Yes. Is it the end all be all? No, it isn't. Put your students in a position to succeed. Give them great experiences. Boy. That's a soapbox for me because sometimes I think as teachers, we just stick too close to our guns and we don't investigate other things because of that fear. And I'm not saying it's with every teacher, but I think that is something that's kind of cooking in the back of every teacher's brain. So my tweet for this one was from Jessica Bowie, and she is at Wandering Teacher, T-C-H-R. She said laziness and getting too comfy in a routine. It's easy to do the same thing instead of keeping lessons relevant. For my class, tech is always changing, so I have to stay informed in order to keep my students informed. Boom, I love it. All right, question 4B. How do you overcome these barriers to create authenticity in the classroom? And I think this is where you just have to step into that intentional risk. Look, I'm gonna try doing these kind of lessons next year. And over the summer, plan out some of those lessons so that you can see them. So you've got time to research them. So you got time to make them as authentic as possible. By the way, at K20 Center probably has some resources for you. But think about that now and talk with your teacher colleagues over the summer and get feedback from them on what you're wanting to do and tighten up some of those plans. And then when the school year rolls around, you're ready to roll too. And then you can take this intentional risk and do amazing things. Julie Robinson, who is at Teach on Your Toes, she said, I have a great team and colleagues to get ideas from. I have some blogs I love to follow. If you need some great math lessons, check out the Oklahoma Math Frameworks. So Google that. Question 5, what resources are needed to create authentic learning experiences? And I think resources that are needed are you need colleagues you can count on, colleagues who will tell you that you're not challenging your kids, colleagues who are honest with you. That was a good lesson. That wasn't. This is what you should tweak. This isn't. Colleagues who will listen to you, colleagues who will work with you, colleagues who will challenge you to get better. So that's key. I think you need to have a pioneering spirit too, like a willingness to step out into the great unknown and to try something that you haven't tried before, to get into an uncomfortable space, to read about things that challenge your way of thinking as far as how it relates to teaching and learning in your classroom. And by doing that, I think you can give yourself a good position to step into authentic learning if this isn't something that you typically do. So dig around for those resources. Utilize your social networks. Utilize the Okla Ed people. Make some of those connections. Do some searching and see what you can find. So Ann Beck, she's at Mrs. Beck 25. She said a career teacher. And yeah, you need those. And we're getting fewer and further between now because of a variety of reasons. But career teachers can definitely benefit those looking to create authentic learning experiences. Question 6. What do you tell people who say that authentic teaching is too hard and not worth the trouble? So I went with a tweet from at Jefferson underscore first. Now, you'll need to go to the show notes to see this because it's a GIF or a GIF. I don't know how you say it, the G-I-F situation. But it's Natasha Jefferson, and I think it's Kevin Hart or somebody, one of these comedians, and it's like, nope, and it's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. No, you can do this. You can take the risk. You can try the thing. You can do the deal. These are all within the realm of possibility for you. There's no reason why you can't work on creating some authentic lessons for your students next year. So yeah, go ahead and check that out. Question 7, how is authentic instruction related to student engagement? So I think if you have an authentically designed lesson and you are leading your students through that lesson actively, then I think that your students should be very engaged in what's going on and almost taking the bull by the horns and asking you for permission to get outside of the confines of the classroom to do this sort of learning. And I think the more authentic it is, the more you can reach out and tap all those 150 high school kids or all 22 kindergarten kids or 32 or however many you have. I think if you can get that lesson sorted out so that every kid is interested in some piece of that lesson, they're going to be engaged in that. So Caleb Dye, he is at Caleb Dye Ed. He said, authentic instruction heightens students' emotional interest. Students are pulled toward a content area because they are energized, excited, and emotionally engaged by the material. Results in heightened comprehension in students. So think about that. Think about something where you've learned and you're like, oh my gosh, I want to know more and more and more. And you dig in and you become, and you're the student, and you just become super engaged in the material that you're learning. Think about what it is that triggers that in you, and then think about how you can trigger that in your own students, which can sometimes be a challenge because as adults, we tend to think just a bit differently than our kiddos. But keep that in mind, you know, with authentic learning. You know, when you, for example, I like to learn how to I like to be challenged with gamification. And so I try and read a lot of blogs on gamification. I read books on gamification. I follow people that tweet on gamification. And because of that, I have this passion for that. Like, I really want to try and be better at that and learn more about that. And because of that, I'm willing to read and look in all kinds of places. So how can we spark that interest in our students? It can be a challenge, but it's totally worth it, and it's completely doable. Question 8, how do you facilitate authentic instruction when students have never experienced learning this way before? Okay, I'll tell you this. When I flipped my classroom, the very first year that I flipped it with my friend Christina, and the students did not like it. They were uncomfortable with what was going on. It was completely unfamiliar. It was weird. They didn't think that they could figure it out. There were struggles everywhere. And for like the first 8 weeks of the school year, there was phone calls from parents, meetings with the administrators. There'd be days Christina was like, forget it, we're ditching this. And I would be like, no, Christina, we can do it. And then the next day it would be me, no, we're getting out of here, forget it. And she would be the cheerleader. No, you know, it's for the kids. And so it can be very, very, very difficult. However, by the time Halloween rolled around, most kids were on board. By the time the winter break rolled around, almost every kid, even if it wasn't their preferred method, understood what was happening and how to utilize the flipped classroom in a way that best met their needs. And so it just took time. And I had one student who took me 2 years in a row, and it took her into spring break of year two to finally figure out what I was trying to get them to do and the opportunities I was trying to provide with the flipped classroom. And at that point, she was grateful. But it's hard for them when we do that. Think about how learning is looks in a kindergarten, first grade, second grade classroom. There's learning centers everywhere. The students learn through play. It's very organized chaos. It's very kitten herding. But the whole time, those early childhood teachers are very intentional with what they're doing in their classrooms so that students are learning. By the time we get to high school, if you try to put a center into a high school social studies classroom and try to divide it into five different centers that the students had to rotate through in an hour, they would freak out. They, you know, we just kind of stomp it out of them the older they get. So when you're doing something like this, the students are going to revolt. They just, it's uncomfortable for them and they're going to really grumble about it, but stick to it. Stick to what you've got going on there. Be consistent. And eventually they're going to see that you're trying to reach them, that you're trying to provide them with an awesome education, and they will slowly but surely buy into it. Not everyone will, but you'll get a lot of them and they'll be grateful for it. So Kenneth Ward, and he is at Kenneth D. Ward, he said, trust the data. Students' curiosity should remain high and does when we are authentic in the way we teach them. When they don't care, we should change something. And I really like that. All right, question 9, time to share out. Tell us about a favorite authentic lesson you have delivered. What made it great? Well, I shared about my space shuttle one, which I loved. It was amazing. But Mrs. S, and she's at Kindergarten Rocks, she said, pumpkin guts in October. Such great questions and awesome learning happens. And there's nothing better than digging your hands into a pumpkin. I'll tell you that right now. So there you go. There's the Authenticity for Classroom Instruction chat, hosted by the K20 Center. So definitely dig into them. They've got some excellent gaming resources, gaming for learning resources, game-based learning. They've got other resources on there to help you, the listener, the teacher, figure out how to develop authentic lessons as well. So reach out to them. My boom sauce tweet of the night is from Melinda Parks, and she is at McCap Sparks. She said, it isn't easy for the faint of heart. Now, this is in relation to question 8, which is, how do you facilitate authentic instruction when students have never experienced learning this way? She said, it isn't easy for the faint of heart. You have to build a relationship with them and implement carefully so they don't even realize that you're doing something different until it's already done. Hashtag sneaky, but it works. So there you go. Authentic learning. And this next week, hopefully, it'll be back to the dynamic duo for the Okla Ed podcast as we talk about confessions of first year principals. Now, this was a really good chat, and it was fun to see everything that happened in there. But this chat is the Confessions of First Year Principals is hosted by Seth Meyer, who is at Seth Meyer, and Kyle Hilterbrand, who is at Kyle Hilterbrand. And you'll want to stay tuned for that. Now, it will probably come out early next week. So sometime in your super near future, you're going to have quite possibly a back-to-back Okla Said podcast episode. So there you have it. And if you're catching this podcast and you haven't caught the Okla Ed chat, please do so. The Okla Ed chat occurs every Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Be there or be square. All right, educators, you know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
They're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.